Pete.
How did, this is the first time you've had this, this setup with you and Ed, kind of, how did it go up there as far as the decisions being made and the communication?
Just thought it was very orderly. You know, I think we spent a lot of time in the last, whatever, couple of months so that, you know, I really, it's the thing to say, you're really not making decisions when you get to the draft. The decisions have been made before, so. Went through a lot of scenarios in the last couple of weeks. If this is there and this is there and that's not there, which direction do we head in? And you know, it kind of fell the way we thought it was going to fall. There was a couple guys, you know, you hope he makes it a couple more picks, but realistically, when they got picked, it was kind of I think our scouting staff did a great job of slotting where we thought they were going to get picked. But I thought it was really orderly, very very organized. I thought Ed and his group did an outstanding job.
Did you feel different than the last 2 years as far as your input, your role, your voice?
I think. You know, I did the same things in terms of my evaluation of the film, being able to go to pro days, going to private workouts and all that, but I just didn't have final say, so.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. How is Howie's role different?
Howie's in there advising us, was there the whole time. You know, we had our same group in there, and a lot of bouncing ideas off of, a lot of trade talks. We go here, what should you ask for, so.
Did you have to lean on him a little bit, or did you feel after 2 years of being through the draft, you pretty much knew
I think we understand that. But, again, I didn't run the show. I just have the final decision. So my role has never really changed. It just if it comes between player A and player B, then you got to break the tie.
So having the final decision, was it a little more nerve-wracking or more fun?
No, I don't look at it. I wouldn't say it was either of those. I just think it's, you know, you're trying to make logical decisions in terms of what you've done, and you got to really rely on the work you've done up until it. I don't think it's a it can't be a reactive type thing. I think you need to just say – can't get caught up in it. And, you know, I think we made a really good decision. There were people we wanted to take in four, but when you have an opportunity to get a third-round draft pick in the following year, I think it's a smart decision. You know, if you're not ready for it, not planning for it, didn't go through those scenarios, maybe you say, I really like this guy. And I think you can kind of get married to that, but then you shortchange yourself. So today, do we wish we had a fourth pick? Yeah. Next year when we go into the draft and we know we have an extra three, then we're really excited about the decision we made the year before. So
sometimes teams use the last seven.
No, you know, and it's good that we can talk about him. I think Brian is got a skill set that it's kind of when you look at it, you know, one of those guys when you spit things through and just say height, weight, speed, kind of off the charts. He's 6'8", 7". He weighs 300 pounds. He's a 34-inch vertical jump. He ran 4.88, and he's a productive player. He just played, you know, wide defensive end in a 4.3 defense. He hasn't been a two-gap player, but we feel with the physical skill set he has, we can convert him to a four technique, you know. And we also have some prior knowledge. Billy McGovern was on staff with him before Ryan Day was on staff. Mike Dawson was there. So guys that have coached him can kind of talk about his work ethic and what he's willing to do. But he's as, you know, if you want the prototype for big people beat up little people, I think, you know, he's obviously the biggest person that we've drafted or brought in since we've been here. So
was that a value pick or was that a spot you wanted to add to?
Again, the highest guy on the board at that point in time, you know, for how we fit in terms of, and I think Ed said it the best way, we're always going to take the best players that fit our system. He doesn't fit, he's not a 4-3, you know, 4-3 defensive lineman. He's a 3-4 defensive lineman. So, you know, there's a certain amount of teams that he fit, and he's that, you know, ideal, you know, if you could put one together, that's what it is. Now he hasn't played it, so there's a projection there. That's why he got drafted where he got drafted.
Which one challenges?
Your six picks have been on defense. How do you feel about the defense overall now after?
We've got more players on the defensive side of the ball, but then the next thing is, and it's like anything, we got to get out in the field and we got to get working and, you know, try to see what those guys bring and get rolling from that standpoint. So.
Because you had to give up a couple of draft picks this year, what does this do for tomorrow and the post draft stuff with the undrafted guys? Is it kind of
No, we got certain positions, but we're moving on that already. As I was walking out of the room, we've moved towards free agency and just, you know, do they not get picked in the following picks with the rest of the draft? And then when that, you know, when that final draft pick is made, when Mr. Irrelevant is picked, then after that it kicks in. But we've got that very organized, very detailed in terms of what direction we're going. But what it turns into is that person is now available to all the other 31 teams in the league. So, you know, really who presents the best opportunity. So there's a little bit of recruiting that goes on. There's the same salary pool that's available to every team in the league. So, you know, how we allocate it and how we do that. But I think Ed and his group upstairs are doing a really good job. We got that organized, and we're ready to roll after that last pick goes through.
Just Mahalik, are there any unique challenges a guy that height has technique-wise to be able to play?
Yeah, there is a little bit, but I think, you know, with Az and knowing how to teach it, and we do have some taller, longer guys in that position. That's what we're looking for. And he's really, you know, if you could, a 6'8", 300 pounder, you know, that's got that explosion in him a little bit. It'll be an interesting transition as he goes from a 4-3 defense to a 3-4. But I, you know, we think there's a big upside there. You know, we know his work ethic because there's guys on our staff that have actually were on his staff in college. So we're excited about the opportunity to get a chance to work with him.
How much interaction did you have with him in the pre-draft?
Yeah, went up to his pro day, and then we had him in for a top 30 visit. So,
as you stand here right now, what do you like most about what you've put together this offseason?
I like our, you know, just from the 2 weeks of the exposure to the guys we have there, is their attitudes. You know, I think they've been outstanding when we've had them in the classroom and had a chance to meet with them, and then getting the feedback from what our guys in the weight room have said, you know, and really as a staff, I think we're all really excited to get out on the field and actually start to work with them again. But I think we got some guys that, you know, and you just look at how they did it. We traded for Sam the following Sunday. He was here and has been here every day since. You know, we signed DeMarco. He's been here every day since. You know, guys that came in, they're working, they're really putting all their time in, and excited to kind of get our hands on them. We finally get to work with them on Monday.
Sam's now, three of your offensive linemen are over 30. Mm-hmm. And Evan are pushing 34. I mean, does that factor into how you look at that position as a whole?
Yeah, it does. You know, and again, there were guys that we really wanted in this draft, but you know, in each round they were taken before we had an opportunity to pick. So, you know, we're going to stick to our board, and I've talked about that when it crosses. You know, but again, I think you look at our line, you know, in terms of being able to go play this season. I think we're excited about the group we have to go play this season. We do have to address it as we move forward in the future. And then maybe there's one or two or three, four guys that we sign here that are undrafted guys that will have an opportunity, like Matt Tobin, that's come in here and made our team as an undrafted guy. You know, that's kind of what the direction we're going to go in with at least this year. So,
do you look at Peters as a guy? I mean, he's freakishly athletic. Do you think that? Who do you think he's got? 2-3 more years?
I don't. I mean, I don't put a number on it, but I know he's a unique individual in terms of what he can do and what his body is like. I don't know. I know it's definitely one, because the way he's working right now, there's absolutely no question that he'll be the top tackle in the game this year, you know, and we'll just see continue. But you just can't predict the future. You don't know what happens from an injury standpoint if he were to have one. But, you know, I feel solid in terms of what we have this year, but we really have to address moving forward what we got to do at that position.
Are you going to have to see Sam to have an idea of how this offense is going to function? Or do you have an idea now of how Sam's going to project?
I mean, it's a combination of both. I mean, we wouldn't have traded for him if we didn't think he fit in terms of what our vision is for what we're trying to do. But we still need to see him out in the field. And we've got plenty of time. You know, it's beginning of May here. So there's a lot of time before we open up with Atlanta. So
How many players did you have on your draft board? And how much did that draft board change from whenever it was first put together till this weekend?
I don't know the exact number. I couldn't tell you that. It always changes. I think as you gain more information, it's probably not really finalized till probably a couple days ago. You know, when there's a lot of things. A lot of times, you know, you had some guys that went to the medical recheck at Indianapolis just last week. So, you know, hey, this guy was. Now we take him off the board just because medically he didn't get cleared by our doctors and our trainers. So, it really was. You know, wasn't really finalized till probably last weekend.
Do you want me to say Leo Collins? Was that a decision that was made this weekend or previously? Was it a hard decision?
It wasn't a hard decision, no. You know, and we just, I mean, it's a very, you know, really, I don't think we should be talking about draft picks. I think two people have lost their lives, and I think that's a little bit more important than that. So we weren't really thinking about the draft at that point in time with him.
One of your picks, unprompted, said, talked about the culture of your program and said they left visits with you actively hoping the Eagles choose them. Is there any sense of they like me, so I like them at play? Like, do you know who wants to come play for you and that makes you like them more?
I think when you visit with most prospects, you get the feeling that they want to come play for you, because you don't get too many guys that go to a visit or you get an exposure to them that try to turn you off, because there's only 32 employees out there in this game. So, you know, usually you're going to get the best from them. But we also understand what we're looking for and get a good feel. You know, and I think it's like anything. Maybe when a kid has an opportunity to pick a college, you get a feel when you're on the campus for the first time that I think I fit in here really well. And, you know, you get kind of get the same vibe. So, you know, there's something to that you know, that there's an attraction, because we always talk about it. There's tangibles and intangibles, you know, and some of the tangibles are non-negotiable in terms of how we're looking at it. Height, weight, speed, You know, if a guy runs 4.8 in the 40, we just can't draft him. If he's a wide receiver or defensive back, that just doesn't fit. But there's also intangibles that go along with it. You can also run 4.2, but we just, you know, it's kind of give and take, and that's kind of how you come down to your final decisions, and then you hope you're right, and they hope you're right.
We've been seeing these guys in the weight. You know, Marcus Smith told the team website that he's bigger, stronger, feels better right now. Have you seen him
in the weight room. We're not allowed in the weight room, so I haven't. You know, that's a question for Josh Hanks and Sean Halls. As I've said since the beginning, just more consistent play. There's been times when he's flashed and you're really excited what he does, but we just need it from a more consistent basis from him.
Do you think you're a more talented team right now? You've gone through the major decision-making phases of the offseason here now with drafting free agency. Do you think you're a more talented team as you stand there?
Honestly, I don't know, nor does I think it matters. I think what matters is when we put that team on the field in August, in September now when we open up against Atlanta, because there's a lot of things that can happen between now and then. So our goal, though, is we finished with 10 wins the last two seasons, and that's not good enough. So we're always going to be striving to make this a better team and a better organization, and that's what we've been charged to do, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Chip, how close did you get to signing Deion Jordan?
We weren't close at all.
There were discussions.
Yeah, no. I mean, we weren't close at all. You know, I know what was reported, but we weren't close at all to any deal or trade or player talk or anything in terms of dealing with Deion.
So there was no trade talk at all.
We weren't close to any trade talk. If you guys know how much organizations talk about trading players, it's every day. Hey, are you interested in such and such? Yeah. We're not interested in trading them. Or, are you interested in this guy? Yeah, we are. You know, we're looking for this. Okay, we're out of that. You know, I mean, it goes on a lot. So were there discussions? Yeah, there's probably discussions with everybody on Miami's roster, everybody on our roster. That's why when I'm being honest when I say, is everybody available? Yeah, everybody's available at a price. But most of the time, the price will never, ever match what we want. You know, so it's never going to happen.
Discussions end he's got two suspensions. We
didn't have any discussions. We had a brief discussion in February, and then that was it. So the discussions didn't end the other day because we weren't even having a discussion. The last time there was ever a conversation, I think sometime at the combine, and it wasn't moving anywhere then, so it was over.
We've met three of the guys here. You obviously place a high importance on character. Do you feel like talking to people around the league that it's something that maybe you place more emphasis on than other teams?
No. I mean, I think everybody has their own little model in terms of what they're looking for, but I don't think we're unique in that aspect in terms of how we approach it. So,
this is our first.
Here we go. I'm sorry, I'll go back here.
Two of your guys have college degrees. The two that came in today already have their college degree. Does that matter to you?
We've talked about that before. I think it's to us, it's not a. I mean, it's something that you look at to me because it's a sign of commitment. Have they set out and done something that they invested in and then said, hey? You know, I followed through with it and I did it. So I always look at it as a positive, but it's not a deal breaker. You know, obviously in Nelson's situation, Nelson graduated early. I think the rest of them do. I think Ja'Cory did. I think Randall graduated in December. I know Eric has. I think Jordan Hicks graduated in 3.5 years and is working on a master's degree. So, I mean, that's just another, you know, kind of a way to evaluate players in terms of commitment, you know, the ability to stick to things, to set out and make goals and kind of stay with those goals.
In signing Miles Austin and then rescinding the tender for Chris Polk, those were two decisions we haven't asked you about. Mm-hmm. What went into both of those?
We thought Miles, obviously a talented player in the production he had with the Cowboys, but then you really look at the season he had last year with his 47 catches in Cleveland and, you know, go and watch all 47 catches on tape. There's contested balls. Just a wily veteran, knows how to run routes, has got outstanding hands, catches the ball away from his body, is a physical player, has both played inside receiver and outside receiver. We just thought the value for getting him, you know, on a one-year contract, it was just a win-win. I think he wanted to be here. We wanted to have him here. I think we got a guy in an older presence because we are young at the wide receiver spot that's been in this league for a long time, has been around for a while. You know, and you put him and Coop as the veterans in that room, and then you got guys like Jordan, Huff, now Nelson, all those guys throw him in there with that. We feel pretty confident, you know, in terms of what we have. We think we got a nice mix in there, so I thought he fit really well. So, and in Chris's situation, we talked to him about, you know, extensively where we were and what our role was, and we did have a role for him. But I also think he felt like he wanted to, see if he could fit in somewhere else, because we are a little bit top heavy at that position, and I understand that. So, but did we want him back? I would have taken Chris back in a second. Chris would have made this football team. We would have carried four running backs and three tight ends if Chris was still here.
You know, the versatility that you have in the defensive backs he's drafted, as well as Jordan Hicks, I mean, how important is that for you? I mean, especially in building the defense backup.
It's not an end-all, be-all, but it certainly is. We look at it as a positive. You know, any time when we're looking at linebackers now, we want three down linebackers. We don't exclusively say first and second down linebackers can't play for us, but in an ideal world, you want a guy that you don't have to take off the field in third down. Ideally, a guy that can play inside and outside, you know, the ability to play inside in coverage in the secondary and play outside in coverage in the secondary. Is it positive? Is it the end of it? If he can't do that, we're not going to take him. No, but I think the versatility, we just look at it as a positive. The same thing we do with wide receivers. Are they inside, outside receivers? Are they exclusively an outside receiver? If you're exclusively an outside receiver and you're the best in the game, then you know we're going to make that work too. So, but I think the versatility, we look at it as a positive.
Chip, is there anything on the current roster who's eligible for one extension? Is that kind of your next plan? Is there anybody you'd like to extend for long-term?
I don't think it's fair to anybody to discuss contracts in terms of where we're going to go or what our thought process is. But I really like a lot of our guys here, and I hope most of them stay here. So.
What's the deal with the job Ed Manowitz did throughout this process and this weekend?
Well, I missed the first part. I heard Ed's job.
With the job Ed Manowitz did, you know, his first time throughout the last 3 months and also this weekend.
Yeah, I think that the thing that struck me about Ed right from the beginning, you know, when I was kind of charged with you need to go find somebody that to put this thing together, is just how detailed-oriented he was. You know, my first meeting with him, and he brought me up to speed exactly what had gone on in the fall in terms of the scouting process and where everybody was and kind of where we are and what we're looking at and how things are being done. You know, I was really just kind of taken aback at how detailed-oriented Ed was and how organized he was. And that's really what we needed, you know, because I'm not available in the fall. I watch a lot of tape on Saturdays, but that's just me watching tape. I don't know much about, you know, the backgrounds or any of those things, but that struck me. And then when I had an opportunity to go around the country and interview a lot of guys, you know, I always felt like I would interview Ed last because I'd seen everything and then be able to compare him to. And again, he blew me away in terms of his organization, how detailed-oriented he is, how intelligent he is, and then kind of his vision of how we can move this thing forward and how we can make it better. So, you know, he hit the ground running, you know, as we got together that first day after he got hired and, you know, organized the scouts and really integrated our scouts and our coaches. I thought the group of them did an outstanding job. And if you watch how well our scouts and coaches work together, it's unique, I think, in terms of how we do it. But as we look at it, is we're trying to make the Eagles the best team out there. You know, and it can't be personnel department against coaches, coaches against personnel, you guys coach, we pick. We're all on the same side. And all we want at the end of the day is the same goal, is we want to win a championship. This city deserves it. And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to leave no stone unturned until we get that done. And that's what this operation's all about. We're not satisfied with 10 wins. I don't think anybody's satisfied with 10 wins. And we'll continue to do what we have to do to make sure that we don't win just 10 games. We win 11, we win 12, we win 13, and hopefully bring this city what it deserves, and that's championship.
Ed had talked about, mentioned things being a little different in terms of, I guess, everyone has a voice at the table. Can you walk us through the process when coaches and scouts meet and talk about players?
I'd like to, but I really don't want to share that. But I think everybody's voice is heard, and I think everybody's allowed to have their own opinion. And we want people to not be on the same page as us, because, you know, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for everybody to see it from a different view. Everybody has a different set of lenses. Everybody has a different set of perspectives based upon their experiences in terms of what they bring. You know, we've got guys that have done it different ways, and that's what we want to do. You know, the only answer I don't accept is when someone says, why do you do it that way? Because we've always done it that way. Give me a reason. And you know what? There's a lot of things we've changed since Ed's taken over. I was like, you know what? That's a really good idea. Let's see if we can move in that direction, because we all believe that's going to make us better. So I think we got a bunch of I touched on it earlier. I think we got a bunch of coaches and scouts that are really growth-minded and not fixed-minded, and we're going to continue to do whatever we can to see if we can make this thing work.
Are there spots?
Last one, guys. How would you say?
We'll go three. One, two, three. So everybody, we're all kumbaya. We're having a great time.
Thank
okay.
You.
This was such a
We yeah, and when your needs match the board, then that's when you're in good shape. When your need crosses that talent line where you're pushing a guy, and I think for us, fortunately for us, in terms of what we really needed to fix, you know, I look at running back. There this was an outstanding draft for running backs, but we didn't have to go take a running back because of what we did in free agency. as we looked at it, it fit. But there was no one here that we felt like we just kind of went, you know, we really have him here, but let's push him up into this round and let's select him because it's at a need position. So I think it just worked for us in terms of how we selected him. And we'll see when we get him on the field.
As a follow-up to that, actually, are there spots you feel you still need, either veteran guys or in trade, to supplement or add?
We'd like to get a couple of linemen in here, you know, specifically to talk about that position. Just we need four at least, just because we're down. You know what I mean? We got 12. We usually like bring 16 in our 90, but that's a priority for us here. And as we look at the undrafted guys and see what we can put together from that, and then we'll look at some other avenues. And we're always going to look at other avenues. You know, now once you set the 90, you're going to have to replace those guys. So you have to let some people go. But you know, I think really the one priority position there. The other thing is tight end. I would say we didn't get another tight end. We lost James Casey here in the offseason. You know, we're really excited about where Trey Burton is, but we'd still like to get a couple tight ends here to be able to compete with Brent and Zach. So,
how would you say this group of draftees is different from what the Eagles would have drafted a couple years ago?
I don't know. I wasn't here a couple years ago. So,
yeah, you were. 2013.
Oh, I was going to get out of the question by saying 2012. I have no idea. I wasn't here less. And I could have walked off, right? I think every class is different just because of what's in that class. You know, and I think that's the unique thing about the draft. You know, what a first-round pick, you know, if you look at the draft, when we were in the draft my first year here, you know, the three of the first four picks off the board were offensive tackles. I don't think an offensive tackle went till 12 this year. There were really no quarterbacks in that draft, I think, as you look at how it played itself out. So I think every draft class is a little bit unique based upon what's available, and I think that's what separates it. Sometimes it's not by – that's what that organization wants and that's what they need, is it, you know, you can't force the issue. And I think that's the one thing that we tried not to do in this draft, is to not force the issue. But I think every draft is kind of unique, you know, and that's the one thing. Everybody's always looking for that elusive quarterback, and that's why there's so many quarterbacks drafted in the first round that don't end up making it, because everybody wants that position. But, you know, in this draft, I think it was clear cut, and everybody looked at it the same way. There were two, you know, and what the next one's like or the other one's like, I don't know. So,
thank you.
Okay. Thanks, guys.